CoOptimus.com presents the CoOptiCast.
And welcome to another CoOptiCast for November 2nd, 2008. I am one of your hosts, Nick, B.A. Penguin Paleo, and I am joined tonight by a fellow CoOptiCastian.
Mike Farianoff Katsifrakis.
Yes, and hopefully he's recording this time.
I am. It's amazing.
Excellent. So yeah, we have some fancy new equipment here in the world of podcasting, and hopefully we can bring you guys a better, higher quality CoOptiCast experience, because that's what we're all about.
Yeah, recording Skype is a tricky deal, but I learned a few things from some new friends I made over my little trip last week, so we're trying something out.
Indeed, and we'll be talking about that trip coming up. But first, we want to talk about what you've been playing. What have you been playing, Mike?
Oh, God, what haven't I been playing? On the co-op side, we played some Castle Crashers the other day with Jim. And we played some Fable 2. Non-co-op, I've been playing a ton of Fallout 3, and I've just fallen in love with that game. It is brilliant. And other than that, I think since the last one I beat Dead Space, and I played through and beat Fable 2, so it's been a busy couple weeks.
Yeah, I mean, there's, like we've been talking about, there's plenty of stuff coming out, and there's more stuff coming, and a lot of stuff came out, and so, yeah, my wife actually said something to me today, which I thought was funny, because, I mean, she takes somewhat of an interest in what I'm playing and stuff, and she goes, I can't keep track of what you're playing anymore. You're playing so many different games. I said, I know. I said, I can't keep track of it either.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've been playing Dead Space as well. I'm trying to finish that up. I did finally get past the part that I was talking to you about that I was really stuck on and frustrated. It was down to basically no ammo and health. And so I'm trekking along there. I'm still enjoying it. At this point, though, I'm just kind of playing it to beat it.
Yeah, it seems like it divides the audience a lot. Some people are really, really into it, like I was, because I marathoned that game. But a few people are just really offended that it borrows liberally from other science fiction movies and stories. So to me, it's just a good game put together with using the best of some other stuff. And some call it ripping off. I call it homage. So I don't know. I had fun.
I mean, I really like it, but by the time you get to the fifth or sixth level, it doesn't seem to do anything new. And it just, I don't know, it's sort of getting stale to me. It's a lot of, you're the only one that can do something, so you have to be the gopher, and it kind of gets old for me.
You're the world's most overworked outer space repairman. Yeah, that's the biggest criticism I have, is you have to fix everything.
Yeah,
I would agree that's probably about 2 or 3 hours too long, but overall, I had a good time with it.
So I was lucky enough to get in the new Xbox experience, so I played around a lot with that this weekend.
Oh yeah,
and I tell you what, there's some really cool features in that. The party feature, I think, is going to be really popular. People, you can have up to 8 people in a party, and basically you can just sit there and chat. Everybody can be doing different things. You can take parts of the party and invite them and play one game. The other parts of the party can go in another game. You can have like sub-channels in the parties. It's really slick. So I was playing around with that and downloading a bunch of stuff from Marketplace, because the Marketplace got a complete overhaul. And I downloaded the Mirror's Edge demo, and I played that today. I love that game. I cannot wait for it. I played it at E3 a little bit, and I was just kind of like, eh, okay. But I don't know, something about it today when I was playing it, I'm absolutely hooked. I went right from putting down the demo up to my computer and pre-ordered it.
Yeah, I played that too, and I was a little thrown off at first when it introduced the control scheme to me. Almost the entire game being done on the bumpers and trigger buttons was, you know, frankly, odd, but it works. It really works. And once I ran through the tutorial level once, I bolted straight through the demo level and didn't have any trouble just, you know, making any of the jumps, kicking the ass of the police that were in the way, disarming yeah. people, and I played through it 2 or 3 times. I had a great time.
Yeah, I'm really happy with what they did. I was trying to think of the game it reminded me of. It was an old Bungie game. It was on the PC.
Oni,
yeah. Some of it kind of reminded me of that.
Aesthetically, I'd agree. It's you know, it's kind of the same.
A little bit. So yeah, so I played a bunch of that. And then, like you said, Fable 2, we played together. And we played some Castle Crashers. So that's the extent of my gaming. Plenty to go around.
You know, something that my wife's been playing is Fable 2.
That's right.
I told her about Peter Molyneux's challenge to people reviewing the game to get a non-core gamer to play the game. And she picked it up, especially once she saw which ending I took and decided that she needed to right the wrongs that I caused. So she's playing through it, and she's liking it. It's interesting hearing what she has to say about it, though, but I suspect you'll be seeing some of her impressions on the site in a while.
Excellent. Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about Fable 2 and its co-op, because, you know, we played a bit of it together, and we've covered it extensively on the site, and, I mean, I think both of us agree that it's a bit of a disappointment.
That would be the understatement of the century, especially considering that the single-player game is fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, before we go into a little bit of a trash fest here, again, both of us agree that if the game was rated on its single-player experience only, I would have to put it like a 9 out of 10. I really have very little quarrels with the single-player. The story's cool. You know, there's so much to do. Graphics are good. It's just a fun game.
Well, and the one-button combat that he was touting early on that everybody said, well, that's got to be horseshit, ended up working well. I guess it's technically 3-button combat, but you could just sit there and mash the X button for the entire game and win. So I'm impressed. I really like the interactivity between the player and the environment, and the situational attacks that come up when you're fighting multiple enemies. It's just fun.
Yeah. So the biggest disappointment, I think, with the co-op is the offline co-op and the online co-op is identical in the fact that even in the online co-op, you're going to share the same camera, and it's a fixed camera that you can only recenter with a bumper button. And basically, this makes you have to stick really close together. If you get anywhere too far apart, you kind of get stuck doing something, or, you know, you can get stuck in the terrain, or you can't quite reach an enemy to attack them and stuff. And it's really frustrating.
Yeah, I remember when we started our session that the first time I saw the orb running around in the world and I could hear you chatting with somebody else on your mic, I was just blown away. I said, wow, this is the greatest implementation of, you know, this kind of feature I've ever seen. And then we hopped into a game of co-op, which, well, yeah. I had so many camera problems, and we had 2 packs of enemies, and we were both trying to fight different ones. So it got to the point where the players are leashed to a certain distance of each other. So I was trying to run one way, you're trying to run the other, and it's kept flashing up the little warning at the bottom of the screen that player 2 needs to, you know, haul their ass back to player 1 and be their bitch for a few more minutes. I'm just not a fan, and that camera is atrocious.
Yeah, and then of course there's the other big problem, in the fact that in the co-op mode you are only a henchman to the host game. You're not your own character, or, you know, even you don't even resemble your own character. But you can't bring any items in or any of that kind of stuff. You're basically just a lackey. And while it's okay, you still get to have the fun of gameplay and stuff, it makes you lose a lot of incentive to want to do the co-op.
Yeah, because, you know, the object of Fable is to allow your actions as a character to shape the world. And when you're playing co-op, whoever your buddy is isn't shaping anything. They're just there. That's why I was a little surprised when all the achievements were, you know, if you do this amazing thing, you get an achievement. Or if, you know, you watch someone do it, you get the achievement too. It's like the little brother award. It's like, big brother just did great things, so I get an achievement for it. Yay.
Yeah. I mean, I really think, like you discussed, the orb thing is awesome. I mean, it's really a revolutionary feature. I hope we can see more games use something like that. In fact, I've actually seen people use the orbs to kind of co-op things. You know, they would be talking to someone with their orbs, and the guy's like, oh, you know, I need to try to find this place and stuff. And the other person would be like, well, I know where it is. Follow my orb. You know, and it's kind of like its own little form of co-op. So I'm guessing that they spent so much time on that and perfecting the single-player experience that, well, you know, the co-op mode just had to suffer, unfortunately.
I'd be willing to bet that they do something else with the co-op mode in a future patch, because it seems incomplete, and in that they had to strip something out of it to make it meet the promise of a launch day patch.
I don't think they expected to have such negative feedback from it. The forums, the first day, we covered it on Co-Optimus. There was tons and tons of posts of people just like, you call this co-op, you know, blah, 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 blah. And the developers were kind of just like, you know, at first they were wise asses about it, to put it bluntly. You know, they were like, you know, you want some wine with your cheese, this and that kind of a thing, which really wasn't cool. But then eventually they're kind of like, okay, you know, maybe we missed something here. And I don't think they realize that. So,
well, it's unfortunate either way. I hope they do something with it. And if they don't, well, you know, it's fall and we got a billion other games to play.
Yeah, exactly. So, another game coming out soon is Call of Duty World at War. And I know we were just talking about this before the podcast. Neither of us were really interested in it, and you still really aren't. But
no,
they announced a bonus zombie mode in it, and basically what it is, it's like a mashup between Left 4 Dead and Gears of War's Horde mode. So basically, it's you and three other buddies boarded up in a house, and you got to fight wave after wave of Nazi undead soldiers. And after each wave, you'll earn money and stuff. And with that money, you can buy objects and stuff to board up in the house even further and build up your little fort. And then the next wave comes, and it just keeps repeating and repeating. You know, it's very arcade style stuff, but man, it looks gorgeous. I mean, they took the time out to make, you know, a couple more player models and stuff and animations and stuff for it, so it definitely got me more interested in it, and it'll hold me over to Left 4 Dead, which comes out 2 weeks after it. So, well, actually it's like a week and a half after it.
Well, don't you have to beat the game to unlock it? So
you do, but I'm guessing it will be worth it to trek through it quickly.
I don't know, man. I think Fallout's gonna keep me busy until Left 4 Dead comes out, so I don't know. It's a cool idea, and it looks really fun, but I can't help but feel that two games I'm looking forward to a lot more than that are going to offer, you know, similar or better experiences. You know, I hear Horde mode in Gears of War 2 is amazing, and I've played Left 4 Dead, and I know what that's like, so I just don't know about it. It looks great. They nailed the ambiance. It's dark and spooky, and the dead Nazis have glowing eyes, so you can just see these shambling hordes coming at you down a dark hallway. It looks fantastic, but I'm not interested in a Treyarch developed Call of Duty game. I hate to be a hater, but Call of Duty 3 was just enough. I don't need another one. I don't want to go back to World War 2, especially after Call of Duty 4.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to try and give them the benefit of the doubt. You know, like I said, it's got a four-player co-op mode in general. So I was kind of interested in that. Yeah, World War II, we did been there, done that. But now it's like, well, maybe it's worth investing my time in. I know Jim on the site is a huge Call of Duty fan, and he's going to be all over this. So yeah, we already have plans to get together and try and get this reviewed. So we'll definitely be bringing you guys impressions and a review in the near future.
It'll be reviewed by someone who doesn't judge it based on Call of Duty 3, so
Mike, excuse me.
Yeah, shut up.
So yeah, we were, you know, like we said, it has a horde mode kind of a thing, and Gears of War 2 does come out this week, and we're going to be doing some special stuff around the site for Gears 2. We kind of decided Friday last spur of the moment, we're like, you know what? Let's promote Gears of War.
Like it needs promoting. But yeah, there's some fun stuff we're going to do around the site. Hopefully people like. Might be up tomorrow or Monday, but I'm thinking maybe Tuesday.
Probably Tuesday, yeah. But we're going to be having a little bit of a giveaway, giving away some good stuff, and just talking in general about Gears. I mean, Gears of War is still our highest rated co-op game on the site by far. It's got the most, the most ratings and the highest percentage wise. So people like their chainsaw, lancer, guns and stuff.
I still think it's probably the best mesh of single player and co-op experience that has come out in recent years.
Yeah, definitely. And the other big game coming out this week is Resistance 2. I actually got in the beta last weekend and got to play around with this for a while. And, they do a lot of really cool things with it, but I think it's going to fall short of people's expectations, too. Well, last podcast, actually, it was where I said that Resistance 2 was, like, my most anticipated game at the, to the end of the year because it was so much unknown. Well, now that I know about it, it's not so much my most anticipated game. The biggest gripe I have with it, and it's kind of a, I don't know if it's a design flaw, it's more of a design choice, but the fact is, you have 8 players shooting at these guys. So to make up for it, that they have to make the enemy AI have an incredible amount of hit points. So it's like everyone's shooting at this thing and it takes a lot to bring it down. Not a big deal, except you don't get feedback that the guy's actually getting hit. Like it just kind of just keeps lumbering towards you and it really looks fake. And it really feels like your weapon's just a BB gun or something.
So is my prediction that it's basically like a console version of Hellgate coming pretty true?
Yeah, I think it is, unfortunately. The battles and stuff are really hectic in it. The graphics are really good. I really like how they do the character classes and stuff. But when it comes down to it, the gameplay part of it in the co-op just seems to kind of fall short. And the other thing that surprised me was, they always tied it, hey, it's a co-op campaign. It's really 5 separate missions that are co-op. It's more kind of like how the original Rainbow Six Vegas did co-op, where you pick the mission and you go through, you do the objectives, and you come back to the menu kind of a thing. So it's not really a seamless thing with a story and cutscenes and stuff. So I don't know. I was kind of a little disappointed. It was fun, but I don't know. In the season of 150 other freaking games, I think it's gonna have to wait.
So do you gear up with your levels, or do you just gain levels?
You gain levels, and you unlock abilities and different weapons you can use. I guess basically you don't unlock abilities, but you increase the effect of your ability.
So as you level up and you gain these extra ability effects, does it feel like the player's more empowered, or does it still feel like you're shooting at a mob with 1.5 billion hit points?
Yeah, it does. It does feel a little bit more upgraded. Like the highest level I got with my special forces guy, which was the one I ended up concentrating on, was level 6, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely noticed a difference. It was a little bit easier to get like headshots and stuff, and eventually brought down the guys. But again, the same problem still remains, is that you don't get some kind of feedback. You don't even always get blood coming out of the guy when you shoot him. It seems to be like every like third shot there might be some blood that squirts out, right?
Yeah.
So it just, and again, it's a beta, so who knows? Maybe the final version, they'll tweak it up. They'll take the feedback, because I know I wasn't the only person that said that. So maybe they'll take the feedback and tweak it up a little bit, but we'll see.
Well, hopefully, because Resistance 1, well, I still feel it was a very competent Half-Life 2 clone, was still a fun game to play, and I really hope that everything they include in the sequel is just as fun to play.
Yeah, it's funny, because when I found out that I was in the beta, I had realized that I had never finished Resistance 1, so I went back out and I picked up a used copy of it to play through and finish it. And now I'm kind of like, well, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Because I think it's going to be a while till I actually get to Resistance 2.
Yeah, I'm stuck on like the last level of the first one. So, I never beat it either. But I had fun all the way there.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a few reviews started to trickle out. Like IGN, I believe, gave it like a 9.5.
Wow.
So, but it's IGN. It's an early review. It was like the only one to come out for a couple days. You never know.
Yeah, I hear you.
So the other big thing we wanted to talk about tonight was you had a little mini vacation.
I did.
So to speak. And you got to head out to Los Angeles to Pandemic Studios to check out Lord of the Rings Conquest.
I did. It was fun. I wrote a nice little preview for the site that contains a lot of the details, but I had a really good time with it. I was frankly a little surprised because it's, you know, based on the Peter Jackson movies, so it in effect is a licensed product. I wasn't really big into Battlefront, to be honest, but it was it was nice. Like, I felt really empowered as the characters, and the abilities they had were pretty cool. Like, you can be a scout, and you can stealth up, and you have a little meter that drains as you're stealthed. But when you're stealthed, if you walk up behind another player, you can jump out, stab them in the back for an instant kill. Warriors can sit there and combo the hell out of people and juggle them up. And there's archers as a ranged class that can, you know, put three arrows on their bow at once and fire them at three different characters. They got poisons and fire arrows, and in breaking with Lord of the Rings canon, there is a mage class that shoots bolts of lightning and can create walls of fire and heal in an area of effect. So, you know, it was an interesting little game. There's a few different modes. It's got it's got two full fledged campaign modes. You can play as the Fellowship and all their friends in the War of the Ring campaign, which basically follows the events of the movies, covers all the major battles, and, you know, it still plays a little bit like a multiplayer map tailored for single player, but they do a good job of making you reenact the flow of the battle. I don't know, it's just fun. You do a lot of hacking and slashing, but it's not like a Dynasty Warriors where you pick off mindless hordes of enemies that don't do anything but stand around and wave at you. The AI will work together. You'll have enemies fighting your allies, and you can see stuff for, you can pretty much see the entire battlefield. It's pretty awesome, the scale that they've gotten on it. You know, once you're in the campaign mode, you hit like pivotal moments in the battle, and they'll let you play as a hero. Like, you know, you're at the Battle Helm's Deep, and the enemies are about to breach the wall, so it says, hey, do you want to play as a hero? And then you say, well, yes, I would like to play as a hero. And it gives you control of Aragorn, who has a ton of hit points, and all of his abilities are similar to the warriors, but they're much, much stronger, and his combos are a little more in-depth. So it's pretty cool. There's an evil campaign, which is pretty nice because they decided that instead of taking the events from the end of the books, you know, like the scouring of the Shire and whatnot, they would actually say, okay, if we stop Frodo from throwing the ring into Mount Doom, how would things have happened? So they got to write their own take on what would happen with everything. So you play as the armies of Sauron and, you know, the big guy himself, and you resurrect the Balrog, and you get to play as the Balrog and, you know, smack some people around with your giant fiery whip. And nice. You roll around, and if you really like killing the people that you played as in the other campaign, you'll really love this mode. It's pretty cool what they did, and I think you'll like some of the choices, especially the final level, which we did get to see, but I won't spoil. Multiplayer-wise, you got your standard capture the flag modes. There's a conquest mode, which is, you know, territory capturing, and kind of like, you know, Battlefront. And there is a hero deathmatch where everybody plays as heroes and goes and, you know, overpowers the other side with their ridiculous moves. And I don't know. I think it's going to be a nice surprise. A lot of people played Battlefront, and a lot of people like Lord of the Rings, so I think they have two built-in audiences for this, and I think they're probably going to have at least a minor hit on their hands. Is there anything you want to know?
Well, so it was announced originally as a 4-player co-op title, but you found out that it was scaled back to 2-player co-op, correct?
It is 2-player co-op, and frankly, while I was disappointed and I did ask them about 4-player at the event, the way the levels are designed would get so cramped with 4 people running around in them. I'm really not sure how they would have pulled it off and still made it fun. Because, gotcha. You know, you're running through castle corridors and things like that, and it's just not meant for 4 people side by side, you know, rolling through doing stuff. And while I would have liked to have 4, you know, you can still play 8-on-8 team play with the multiplayer mode, so there's still pretty large scale, you know, team play, not co-op per se, but the classes really kind of mesh in pairs. They don't seem to be like you wouldn't want to roll with 3 archers and a mage. You know, it just wouldn't work. And wouldn't want to play with 1 of each class either, because, you know, in the different levels, it's just not, like, a scout's not going to have a lot to do in a choke point. He can't get behind anybody, so why would you play as one? So, you know, at the spawn points, you can go back and switch whatever character class you want to be. And I personally found that a warrior-mage combo made for the best one, because you have a ranged guy, a melee guy, and the ranged guy also can heal both of you in an area of effect. So he can also put up a shield that deflects arrows flying at it. So the melee guy, the warrior, can sit there and whack stuff without worrying about being pelted from afar by, you know, archers up on the railings or whatnot.
So there's not really co-op specific like attacks or anything, but there's definitely a benefit depending on like what co-op pair you are.
Yeah, like archers are probably the lame duck of the co-op experience. I didn't find them to be particularly effective as in the campaign as a solo class, because, you know, you get hit with them twice and you'll go down like a sack of potatoes. So, you know, having the mage was a little better. He's pretty weak as far as hit points go, but he can, his lightning will arc from enemy to enemy if you fire it into a crowd, so he's really good at taking out large groups. I don't know. I think they need a little bit of work on the archer, but overall, the classes all felt pretty good and well suited for what they were designed to do.
Cool. Well, sounds good. Definitely looking forward to it after your preview. Got me a little psyched for it. I'm always a fan of Lord of the Rings stuff. I mean, a little bit of a Lord of the Rings whore.
Yeah, you won't be disappointed in terms of that. Like, the Battle of Pelennor Fields with the Oliphants marching towards Minas Tirith, you know, you're rolling around and there's these trolls pushing attack towers, so you can come up behind the trolls and stab them in the neck or shoot them in the eye or whatever you want to do. Take out the towers, and then the Oliphants come and you can, you know, run up the side of them like Legolas. And if you've been playing well enough, it actually tells you to play as Legolas to do it. But you run up their sides and you basically reenact that scene from the films, which is cool. It's really fun. And the character models, especially for the hero units, are really impressive because, like I said, they got the movie license, and with the next gen hardware they're on, they look really good. And that's a really good showpiece for the fact that they can have like 150 units on the field at any given time. So you'll see stuff, you'll see your army fighting the other army off in the distance. You'll see a Nazgul riding a fell beast swoop out of the sky and snatch someone off a horse and drop them onto a spiked wall or stuff like that. It's really pretty cool what they've done.
Awesome. Sounds good. So I think that probably about wraps up the show for tonight. The next co-op, the cast, will be in 2 weeks on November the 16th. Which puts us smack right before Left 4 Dead. So I imagine the next co-op, the cast, is going to be filled with lots of zombie-loving goodness.
Oh, I certainly hope so.
So this has been the Co-Opticast for Co-Optimist.com. Have a good night.
You're listening to the Co-opticast. Now remember, this election day, vote co-op.